Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us this morning to discuss Kristallnacht and how we commemorate it is Mary Klug. Mary, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks, Howard. You're doing well. Thank you.
So it becomes difficult to try every year to contextualize just how significant and how horrendous an event this is. You're the director of the Durban Holocaust Center. How do you do this? How do you manage to address it each year?
You're right, Howard. And I think the fact that the further away we get from these historical events, the more difficult it is for people to understand the really significant impact that this November pogrom had on what became the Holocaust. You know, I mean, so I'm just deviating, but I'll ask your question first.
Yeah.
How do we commemorate it? Well, it is very much one of the most significant days on our calendar in terms of commemoration. So 27th of January, which is United Nations Holocaust Remembrance Day, which is obviously significant. Yom HaShoah goes without saying. That's our special day of commemoration where obviously many survivors over the years have chosen that Yom HaShoah would be their yahrzeit for so many of their relations who they had no idea on which day and in which place, in fact, people were murdered. And then it's Kristallnacht. For us, Kristallnacht is deeply significant and incredibly important to commemorate. And we have many testimonies in our exhibition of survivors, obviously those in particular who found their way to South Africa, who are mostly featured in our exhibition. And most of those who did survive and were able to get out, if they did, it was because of Kristallnacht, because either they were sent on kinder transport thereafter. Their parents, after the November 1938 pogrom in Austria and Germany and in Czechoslovakia, realized that the situation was so grave that the world had despite it having been featuring in international media, the pogrom, very little response, if any, by the international community, other than the sort of Evian conference a few months later. But nothing was done in terms of retribution in terms of Germany. And I think that Jewish families started to understand the significance. And once they were struggling to get out, were prepared. So the gravity is demonstrated to me that parents were prepared to put their children on a train into the hands of strangers in the hope that they would be able to survive.
Because they knew just, absolutely.
Just the significance of what had happened and the possibility of what might await them. I think that people expected the worst. I don't think anybody anticipated the unthinkable.
Yeah.
But I think if we think about November, thereafter, the testimony of so many kinder transport survivors will tell you after Kristallnacht, my parents said, okay, they found a sponsor or they were able to find someone who we could go to. And we were taken to the station in Vienna. We were taken to the station in Prague. And my mother was too traumatized to come, but my father took me and put me on the train and I never saw my parents.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for so many, that was the last time they saw their families.
The
stories are just horrific. Just to get some kind of a historical context, at that time, was there, it clearly was possible to still leave Germany. I think that the challenge was much more where to go because most places had closed their borders.
Indeed.
Is that correct?
Yes, indeed. The last legal opportunity to get into South Africa was in October 1930. The last vessel, Stuttgart, had been 1936. But thereafter, people did manage to get in, but you had to, in the case of one of the survivors who came to Durban, she was only able to come if there was a man waiting and willing to marry her when she arrived. So the circumstances were incredibly difficult. The Aliens Act had come in by then where, you know, limiting particularly Jewish immigration. So it was a really difficult time. And so commemoration of Kristallnacht is very, very significant and incredibly important. And Holocaust organizations, education institutions, museums around the world take it incredibly seriously because of the understanding that as historians often have been quoted, you know, it was the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Just phenomenal. The other thing that's almost impossible to do, and I think this is a general problem in Holocaust education, is the magnitude is not something that is relatable. When we just, you know, I was giving some stats earlier, but it trips off your tongue, 30,000 men rounded up and taken off to concentration camps. If we have to think about what that quantum actually means in terms of numbers, it's mind-blowing.
It's the sort of majority of the South Africa, the Jewish community in Johannesburg.
Absolutely, I was thinking exactly that. It's almost every, probably almost every Jew in Johannesburg. If you look at that number, that was the number of people, men rounded up to be taken to concentration camps over 2 days.
And I think what's really important on that thread, exactly what you're saying, Howard, is that the numbers are impossible to comprehend. And so that's why individual testimonies are so important, and individual stories start to make the reality considerable or feasible. So we have, for example, a testimony of a survivor, again, who lived through Kristallnacht, and will speak about how her father was taken away, and he came back 6 weeks later in December, and she said he looked so old, and he never recovered. The trauma of, there is a man running a business. Try to consider that he's running a business. His business is smashed and looted, and he's arrested from, you know, it's just the horror of it. And then, I mean, one other detail that I always find just incomprehensible for people who are now living in Germany and have had their homes, their businesses, their synagogues, their hospitals, everything looted. The repair of those institutions or organizations or structures was the sole financial burden of the community. The insurance companies were, the German government refused to have any insurance cover it.
Unbelievable.
So yeah. I think the gravity and the enormity of the November pogrom, and I think that's also quite an interesting discussion around the naming. Kristallnacht was referred to in Nazi supported media after the occasion. And I think there's a resistance to the name Kristallnacht because of that.
That's interesting. So that was a name used by the Germans after Kristallnacht.
Yes. Right. So we you know, that's why even the name itself has
Yes, because it almost sounds something quite beautiful, Kristallnacht.
Yes, crystalline, yeah. Shimmery, and yes.
There's something quite beautiful about it.
Which makes sense about why it got that name and who it was given by.
It was almost like a whitewashing.
I think the enormity of, and the impact, and the, you know, nobody knew what was to come, but in hindsight, and as we know, hindsight and all of those cliches, but if we reflect on, as I say, for me, the fact that post the November pogroms, 9th, 10th November 1938, parents were prepared to
I think that really does just show where people were at and how devastating it must have been. Is the what are the commemorations that
last night we had a commemoration, which is, we do that every year, and I was going to say that was the other thing. Well, there are those three occasions that I mentioned earlier. Are when we get together as the South African Holocaust and Genocide Foundation, and we do a national commemoration.
Right.
And we had the incredibly esteemed historian Christopher Browning speak at our commemoration last night. But the other thing that I want, it's always a collaboration and a partnership with the Goethe Institute, and always, for as long as we've been commemorating 9th, 10th November, the German ambassador has delivered an incredibly poignant and meaningful address for every year. And I think the responsibility has never been underplayed, and the value of that
to our
community and to survivors is huge.
Absolutely. It really is. It makes an enormous difference. And that is all, unfortunately, that we have time for. Mary Klook, thank you for speaking to us and bringing that home, the reality of it. Mary Klook, director at the Durban Holocaust Center, talking to us about Kristallnacht.